Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Michael Knight, who is product manager at MercuryGate. And today we're going to talk about successfully managing a multi-everything transportation operation. Now, when you look at a lot of shippers and 3PLs, as their transportation operations become much more global, much more complex, their needs in terms of from a technology standpoint, in terms from a process standpoint to manage, this much more global and distributed transportation environment becomes much more critical, right? So you're talking about working in multiple countries, multiple modes, multiple legs, multiple currencies, languages, et cetera. So basically that's kind of what influenced the title, right? It's multiple everything. And so how do you operate in such an environment? What are some of the challenges shippers and 3PLs are facing? How does technology help, manage in this type of environment? So that's really at the heart of what we're going to discuss today with Michael. So very happy to have him on the program. I just want to remind all of you who are joining us today that part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you have a question for Michael as he and I are having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button or via the chat feature. And I'll keep an eye on it. And if it's a good and appropriate question and we have time, I'll certainly try to weave it into the conversation. Just a quick reminder that if you are joining us as a visitor, you do have to sign up first with Spreecast in order to submit a question. So with that, Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So Michael, you're a first-time guest here on Talking Logistics, and like I always do when I welcome someone new on the program, I always like to find out a little bit about their career path, right, and how and why they got involved in supply chain logistics. So why don't we start there? Briefly, tell us a little bit about your career path, how and why you got involved in supply chain logistics and kind of what your current role and responsibilities are there at MercuryGate.
Well, like a lot of people who are in logistics, I took a very unusual path to get into my position. My initial career was training and education. So I was brought in into a logistics company to be their IT trainer and employee trainer on software and also just basic logistics principles. Then worked a lot with IT software and implementations, and then came over to MercuryGate. With the MercuryGate, I'm a product manager, product owner, so my jobs and responsibilities are really directing where the base model is going and the features that are becoming out based on user feedback, our customer implementations, and just where we see the market heading. And trying to and keeping ahead of that as much as we can. So my job is to really direct that process.
Great. And really coming at it from a kind of a training standpoint, it's very interesting because I think one of the things that I've been talking about a lot in supply chain logistics is there's so much changes in this industry that in order to remain an effective leader, you really have to make time for learning, right? Make time to really keep a pulse on what's happening in the industry from a technology standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, from a best practice standpoint, so on and so forth. And in many ways, what we do here at Talking Logistics is kind of a vein toward providing folks, with that kind of visibility to what's happening in the industry. And certainly, on the technology front, there's so much going on in that area. And that's a key area where a lot of what I hear from a lot of supply chain professionals is that, they want to keep a pulse on what's happening on TMS, on a variety of different supply chain logistics software, to be able to get ideas in terms of how to implement them successfully within their company to drive, to drive innovation. So a good combination there between kind of having a educational and training background and kind of being in the technology field. So let's get into the topic now, and let's start with kind of what you're seeing and hearing, from shippers and 3PLs. I mean, what are the main challenges that they're facing in managing a multi-everything transportation operation?
Well, there's actually multiple things that keep coming up. One basic one is visibility. As the more complicated processes are coming out where I'm shipping and I'm using distribution points and distribution centers, multi-legs, multi-modes, currencies, the ability to see that from an end-to-end or more of a global scale from what we consider a route perspective is becoming more and more important. Users are very limited at some points that they're seeing the individual elements of the movement, but not overseeing the whole movement to see progress. The other issue that's coming up is seeing the financial responsibility as a global perspective, taking all of my costs for all of the different elements of my route, being able to see that at a higher level so that I can start really understanding my costs and my profitability.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think I hear the same thing. I think visibility, and I think you hit on two aspects of visibility that I think are important. A lot of folks, when they think about visibility, they think about visibility to a shipment, let's say, right? And how it's progressing from origin to destination. If you've got multiple modes and going crossing borders, and dealing with a lot of different logistics service providers and carriers, a lot of times for a lot of global shippers in particular, there's black holes along the way, right? But I think the other piece of it that I hear a lot from and you touched upon it from supply chain executives is visibility to the financial side, right? Visibility to being able to answer that basic question is how much are we spending globally on transportation, right? And what's our performance there? So I think those two aspects of visibility I think are critical. I hear the same thing, from shippers and 3PLs as part of the challenge. Now, do you see any differences or between, let's say, large shippers and 3PLs and, let's say, smaller shippers and 3PLs in terms of the types of challenges that they're facing in a multi-everything environment?
I don't think there's a lot of different challenges. It's challenges based on scale. Smaller shippers, their network might be a little bit more manageable because they don't have as many nodes in it. Larger shippers, I might have a complex distribution network that I'm using. But the reality is, from a route perspective or a multimodal or multi-movement perspective, still the same concepts. It's just whether I'm dealing with it on a small scale or large scale.
Right. Now, going back a little bit to the visibility aspect of it, I mean, one of the challenges that I see, and maybe we're this might be a little bit more related in terms of the deployment side of things, but one of the challenges I see is just connectivity, right? Getting the data and information you need from, a variety of different trading partners that you may have out there, whether they're carriers or 3PLs or so on and so forth. And making sure that you're receiving that data in a timely, accurate, and complete fashion. Do you see that as well as a challenge to this multi-everything environment? Is kind of the integration piece, bringing all the external parties together to feed the visibility?
Yeah, I mean, that's always going to be an issue because it's all about the technology that the carrier has. Not every carrier is as advanced as the other. So you're kind of at the, you can only get as much as they can give you at the time. But integrations is always going to be an issue just because of the level of technology and of the capabilities of the carriers you're working with. And then it also
Right.
depends on modes. Some modes are better at it than others as well.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe we'll touch upon that when we talk a little bit about the technology and how to deploy it. But let's talk now about, in your experience, working with shippers and 3PLs, I mean, are they generally taking a, centralized or decentralized approach to managing the global transportation operations? And what factors determine, one approach versus the other?
Primarily going to a centralized is one of the main goals that they go for, just because if I'm using such an optimization tool, I have the ability to see all of my available shipments and orders where I can do complete optimization of all of my freight versus if I do local optimization, I'm only seeing a glimpse of that to some degree. But from a large scale, some of the larger shippers are going more regional, so that they're looking at doing regional optimizations for route management. But there's also the factors of what type of freight am I shipping? Do I have specific mode requirements? Because those influence the level of optimization I can do because some things can't be mixed together. So it really depends on your own business model, and shippers are making those determinations based on their commodities and their size.
Right. I mean, I think, generally speaking, I see both models, companies approaching both models. I think where they want that centralization, I think universally, is on the visibility side, like we already talked about, right? So they want to be able to at least from an information standpoint, centralize that or get that central visibility so that they can see, at the end of the day, they can get that complete picture. They can roll up the financials, so on and so forth. But I think, and you kind of touched upon this a little bit, they might be either country specific or regional specific, unique requirements that, there might be business rules or certain factors that on a region by region, country by country basis, they may need to have some unique business rules or a unique approach to managing transportation in that area. Is that kind of a fair assessment of what you see as well?
Well, I think we're talking two separate elements. One, of course, is visibility to the movements and to the overall financials. The other is the actual planning and how we're doing routing and route creation. So route creation can be more regionalized because my freight isn't could be in a region. So I'm looking at the movement of that specific freight through which is within a regional area or a country. But from I see the exact same thing you were talking about from a visibility standpoint. Yeah, central, I want a global view of all of my freight from a visibility standpoint. From a planning standpoint, it gets more kind of regionalized or localized.
Right. Yeah, no, good point there, because I mean, I think, there are those that want to do it more regionalized, and then there are those that are trying to, plant multiple leg, multi-mode shipments, that might be going from, China to the US or, some long leg, if you will, that has multiple modes involved. And there I see kind of that centralized planning as well that cuts across modes, cuts across countries and regions as well. So I think it's a I think to your point, every company is going to have a different approach based on the specifics of their product flows and supply chains. So let's talk about the technology now. I mean, when it comes to managing a multi everything transportation operation, what TMS capabilities are the most critical for success? Right? So if I had to create a very short list and say, these are the things I definitely need to look for. To make sure that I'm putting in a foundation to manage this successfully. What should those key factors be that they should look for?
Well, I think you can look at it from a process perspective. My first thing I'm going to have to do is plan it. So you're going to need a TMS that has the ability to optimize or give you logical planning strategies on how to create and move my freight. If I don't have the ability to build a route and make it effective, I'm stuck in the water. The next is giving visibility of the route or the movement throughout the full entire movement, which we would consider, like I consider that a global view of a route. So if it's multi-leg, multi-stop, I can see every element of that at one time so that I can sequentially work on all three things at one time. I'm not just stuck on a poignant view of an individual's leg if it's multi-leg. Then the other thing is financials. How can I manage my finances across all of these objects? Because the other thing that we start thinking about when it comes to multi-everything is, am I consolidating multiple profit centers into one route? If I'm doing that, then I need to be able to allocate costs back to those profit centers so that my accounting is working properly, so I can make sure my GL coding's and my accountant's happy. So you have to be able to maintain financial management as well. So those are three main issues that I always see as a big thing when looking at being able to handle a multi-everything movement.
No, I think those are certainly three important features there and capabilities there. I mean, I think looking at it from kind of a user interface side and more from a supporting multiple languages, multiple currencies. I mean, I think those things are kind of a given. But I would think that there needs to be. Can you talk a little bit about kind of the user interface aspect of it in terms of what cap because you've got users perhaps that are going to be in different countries, right? They may be thinking in different types of obviously working in different currencies, working in different dimensions, dimensional weights, so on and so forth. How important is that? And what are some of the critical things from a UI or a setup standpoint that would make an implementation, let's say, go much more smoother or be more easily adopted by the end users?
Well, from a perspective of languages, the ability for the interface to be adjusted based on the user's home native language. there needs to be that level of flexibility so that I can convert to the user's native language so that they can actually interface with the system easily versus them trying to pick and peck and try to figure out what's going on because it's not in their language. With currencies, there has to be a way to do a baseline currency. So no matter what currency any of my legs are in, I need to be able to convert it to a baseline so that I can always do an apples to apples comparison on what's going on. So in our system, we have a normalized currency function, which allows you to, no matter if you're talking about pricing for an individual leg for a carrier might have a different currency than your currency, but and then each leg could be a different carrier with a different currency. So being able to do a conversion to normalize it into one specific currency for me to make accurate rating and pricing decisions is a must. If you don't have that, there's no way for you to actually get a financial picture of what's going on.
And to create that baseline, I mean, are you using, I mean, I would assume that you're using some kind of standard for, or, currency exchange rate, that's kind of based on at that given time, what the rate is, what the conversion rate is.
Correct. Yeah. So we do the National Bank currency conversion. So we just check that. The system actually will allow you to implement your own. So if you have your own currency bank that you would like to talk to, work with for your currency rates, we actually can do the conversion and integration with them as well.
Great. Yeah, no, I mean, I think these are, again, kind of got a little bit into the weeds there, but I think those are some of the like they always say, the devil's in the details sometimes. And it's sometimes, it's some of those things that sometimes hinder the successful deployment of a TMS. And when you're talking about a global type of deployment. So speaking of deployment, I mean, how are companies, in your experience, 3PL shippers, I mean, how are they managing the deployment process in this kind of a multi-everything environment? I mean, are they generally taking, let's say, a big bang approach where they say, we want a TMS that, and we're going to kind of roll out all the different countries and locations that we have and roll them up into this TMS? Or are you seeing them taking a more segmented, rolling it out in stages, perhaps taking a country by country approach? What do you see out there?
Most customers that we're doing implementations are doing a phased approach. So they'll do some sort of pilot with these specific scenarios, specific users, specific location, and start rolling that out, getting that set up, and making sure that that proves out everything that they're looking to do. And then they start doing a mass rollout after that pilot phase. So it's usually a more phased approach, where some of them will look at phasing in different types of modes or different levels of complexity. Depends on how their business model is and what their priorities are. Some customers will bring to us a problem and say, we're having issues with this type of our business. We want you to focus on that first, and that'll be phase one, and then we'll go from there. So it really depends on what the customer's coming to us with, but usually it does come under some sort of phased approach.
Yeah, and certainly, generally speaking, with a TMS implementation, what I've seen is that a lot of companies, start out, again, generally speaking, more on looking to automate and enhance their execution processes first, and then move into optimization as kind of a phase two type of deployment. Is that, again, I know it's going to vary by company, and maybe they have specific issues that they want to address first, but is that a fair characterization of how these global deployments go as well, where it's more around automating the execution tasks and getting that visibility, and then optimization comes in second? Or are you seeing optimization being a driver early on?
From our experience, I think you're right on. Usually people are coming from us as an execution model. Optimization is usually a secondary. What I think is interesting is optimization is where you get the biggest bang for your buck. Being able to put in my business rules and have the system determine my routing is much more effective than trying to have a user who doesn't know all the intricacies of what needs to happen making blind decisions. That's what so I think sometimes we come at it a little wrong that they're looking at, I just need to be able to execute the freight. And yep, we can do that. But the fact is for you to get where you want to be, it's that optimization and routing models that need to be put in place for you to actually get to that point where you're maintaining your financials, which is what your ultimate goal is. So it's a two-edged sword, how they manage it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's always one of those key questions. Obviously, as an industry analyst, we always talk about the optimization piece, and certainly as the more complex your operations are, the more valuable optimization becomes. But at the same time, there's the realization that a lot of times it's a whole crawl, walk, run type of approach, right? That you kind of need to have that strong kind of execution foundation, or get people. Move away from the spreadsheets, move away from the kind of manual processing first, kind of create that ease of use with the solution before you kind of delve into the optimization side. I've just got a couple of more questions. So I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live that if you do have a question for Michael, now would be the time to ask it. So let's talk about the benefits. I mean, and I'm sure that many of the benefit buckets of a multi-everything TMS, kind of mirror what you would see in a more traditional kind of domestic, deployment. But what are some of the main benefits that, the companies you work with are kind of achieving, by operating in a multi-everything environment?
The one thing is just being able to work in one system. A lot of people, before they go to a multi-everything process, are working in multiple systems, and because they one system can't manage it all. So now being able to do everything in one system gives them a lot more access to data and for analytics, so that they can actually determine what their freight is actually doing. Before working with multiple systems, I had to start pulling data from multiple areas and started combining it to do analytics. It's much easier working with one system. The other thing is what we talked about before, it's the financial aspect of it. When I am doing it at one system, I do have a global view of my finances, so I have a better understanding of what I'm spending, why I'm spending it, and what can I do to make that different and make advancements and make it better on my cost benefit analysis. So those two things are just huge in types of what the benefits would be from a multi-everything perspective. The other thing is now I have visibility for management, my locations, customers, whatever you're looking at. I have visibility that I can give them access to see stuff from start to finish that they usually never had before. The other problem that multi-everything really does fix is it gives me the opportunity to do some cross-consolidation that a lot of times I never had before. We were talking about if I have profit centers, I have two warehouses, I want to start consolidating their freight onto a truckload, on one truckload versus that becoming LTL shipments, because that's going to be a cost benefit. That multi-everything movement and multi-anything system makes it very easy for a user to do that, which might not have been an option for them before they moved to that model. So those are main issues that are coming up that seem to be helping out customers a lot.
Yeah, the point you brought up in terms of, historically a lot of companies had to work in, multiple different systems, right? And, that fragmented visibility, that fragmented approach to, managing this multi-everything environment, just made it, for a lot of companies, just very inefficient, right? They didn't have that full visibility, labor intensive, trying to roll up all that information, trying to make smarter decisions faster. And that's a key point. I mean, I think today what I'm hearing from a lot of supply chain logistics executives is that they're trying to make smarter decisions faster, right? And I think I see that as a main benefit is, being able to get more timely, accurate, and complete visibility to what's happening across your transportation operations to be able to, ideally in a more proactive manner, respond to any issues or opportunities that might be there, as opposed to being reactive and having to go through, work across multiple systems to try to, address something. So. So as a way to wrap up, Michael, I mean, what questions should, shippers, 3PLs, ask themselves to assess if, they have a strong foundation to manage a multi-everything transportation management operation?
When it really comes down to what is my business network? I mean, am I a shipper that's just doing direct deployment, my a shipper that has multi nodes in my network that I'm doing line hauls and distributions? Getting that basic business model down will help you when you're doing an implementation, because that information will be key to how your system's configured and designed. The other thing is, am I doing any consolidations? Am I doing cross consolidations from warehouses? I'm doing customer movements. Am I doing cross consolidations from that point? Getting that involved is another key factor, because multi-everything gives you that, is a reason to start moving to that looking at that model. Another big factor is just the idea of multimodal. If I'm dealing with multi-modes, am I able to do parcel? Am I able to do LTL? Am I able to do truckload? Am I able to do rail, ocean in a single platform? If I'm now working in four different platforms because I'm each mode, I have to do a system per mode, it might be time to consolidate into a multi-everything system where I can do all of those modes in one spot. Because as you pointed out, it'll be much more efficient, and all of that data will now be in one place for me to do real analytics for my cost of my freight.
Yeah, no, all great points and things to things to consider. Well, Michael, we're kind of out of time for today, and like I say after every episode, we always manage just to scratch the surface on the topics that we discuss. But certainly, I think we provided some good food for thought, some good pointers here on what it takes to successfully manage a multi-everything transportation operation. We didn't get any questions live, but if you are watching this episode on demand and you've got a question for Michael. You can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com, and I'm sure if you post a question there, Michael will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, Michael, thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And again, thank you all who joined us live today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.